Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs and have some fun.
You gotta give us a shot.
You know what?
You gotta give us a shot.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Clapback Sports. I am your host, The Mage. As always, I'm joined by my co-host, Tino. What's up, Tino?
Not much, Mage. I just, you know, I'm tired of going out on Sundays in Giants gear. Just tired of it. I told you guys I'd stop. I didn't. Knowing the outcome, I did it anyways. The liquor didn't help. Nothing helped. And here we are. Here we are. Another week of bullshit. Mage, you're in Giants gear. I don't know how, even not on a Sunday, you're in Giants gear.
Well, you know what? Because it's pretty comfortable. I have a lot of hoodies. Okay, it's winter season, so they're comfortable. But you do have a World Series hat on, Tino, so could be a little forthcoming or future telling for the Mets.
It could be. Also, Mage, I think Murph is wearing a Syracuse sweatshirt, if I'm seeing that correctly. Are you? Are you? Yeah.
Correct.
They play in the Jimmy V Classic. They're playing.
They do. You'll be watching. I will. Our guest that we haven't announced yet will be watching. And possibility I'll be watching. Might play video games. Don't really know if I want any more misery this week in sports, but figure it out. Thanks for introducing me, Mage. Appreciate you.
Well, Tino just kind of transitioned right into it. So how are you doing, Murph? Well, now that you're muted. Go ahead.
I know this is going somewhere with punching my face because of the song you chose. So just go ahead because Philip's going to be upset at you.
We do have a special guest with us. None other than, I don't know, where is he at this point? A four-time guest on the show, now five-time? I'm not sure. The beautiful, the handsome RomoCop. How are you, RomoCop?
I'm good, fellas. How you doing?
Not too bad.
Good to be here. Glad to be back.
Good. I'm very glad that you are here today, Frank, because today's episode is just going to be me punching Murph repeatedly in his beautiful face, because that's what I've been wanting to do, Murph.
So you had to bring an audience on because Tino is on my side.
I'm not sure if Tino's on your side or not. Tino doesn't talk to us. Tino on the podcast pretends like we're best friends, but I'm not sure if we're even acquaintances.
Let's not do this. Let's
Tino
not
talks
do
in the group chat. Yeah, see, let's not do this. Mate. You're already putting him down. See, I already knew he was on my side.
You gave me the cold shoulder today. Let's not do this. Don't bring me into your shit.
Oh, you're right, Tino, because you did draw a heart around our names, and yep. you got upset that I pissed on that fire.
Yeah, you did. So let's change the subject. Let's change the subject.
Well, they're bye weeks, and we both have the same record. So there's two other teams. There's still one more week where we could lose that bye. Now I feel like you put the hex on it.
With that mindset, it'll happen. But you know what? Again, move on. I don't want to talk about it.
We're Giants fans.
I don't want to talk about it.
All right. So today's episode is going to be about nothing else besides the one and only Joe Judge. Because I want to get into it, because you know what, guys? It is an absolute firestorm right now on the timeline amongst Giants media, everyone out there. The fan, I heard Carl Banks going off on this team yesterday on WFAN. I mean, everybody is upset about this team.
You forgot the most important one. Giants Facebook.
Oh, Giants Facebook. I'm not even on Facebook. I'm not even sure Facebook existed.
Oh.
Well, what is it? Is it Meta Place now? I don't know. They got some weird fucking commercial where there's a lion eating like a fucking, I don't know what it is, a caribou. And all of a sudden he starts petting him and then he's talking through the painting. I don't know. Facebook's weird as shit. I don't get involved in Facebook much.
Well, Giants Facebook is fucking hilarious.
Is it really?
Frank's shaking his head. I don't know. Tino might not know about it. But yes,
Frank,
for sure.
Frank is still on. Eclectic. Frank's on MySpace. Frank has Giants followers on MySpace.
Fortran. I use Fortran.
Mage just leaves.
Oh, I'm here. I expected Frank to say more. So.
Well, yeah, basically New York's in flames. You are correct. So go on with your little spiel here.
Yeah, you know what? Make sure you follow us on Twitter. Follow me at @TheMage_NFL. Follow Tino at @TinoRodriguez_ at the end. Follow Murph at Murph714. And follow Frank at RomoCop74. Is that correct, Frank?
You got it, Mage.
All right. Beautiful. Thank you. Murph, I'm going to lead off with you because that's what I want to do. And I'm the host of the show. So.
Touché.
Okay, cool. So when I say I'm going to lead off with you.
What were you leading off with, bro?
I said like, you. I said, Murph, I'm going to lead off with you because I'm the host of the show and that's what I want to do.
Well, the host usually asks a question, but if we're
Said the topic is Joe Judge. So
that's it? Just Joe Judge?
Just Joe Judge.
That's well, it. I'm not fucking happy with Joe Judge right now.
I'm not happy with a lot of different people right now. I'm going to punch you in your face. Go ahead,
man. That's fine, man. But like I've told you guys over and over, this thing isn't necessarily all about Joe. Could Joe stay? Do I think Joe's going to stay? I think Joe's going to stay. Should Joe stay? I don't think he's deserved that right. But I think you can make the argument for either side. But I feel like I'm allowed to have an opinion. I have an opinion on a lot of things, but I don't see how this thing's going to work, man. I don't. And like I think I was telling Frank earlier today, if that's the route they want to take and they want to bring Joey back, I don't want a GM, man. Fuck that. Because what happens when we're in this exact situation again in 365 days? Keep it in-house and stay with Joe. But right now, my feet are out the door just like they were last week. I said Joe Judge has got to win out to win me back. I understand he has some odds stacked against him, but I haven't seen progression and development from this team. And yes, the injury piece is out there, understandable, but everybody has that. Everybody goes through that. So thank you for listening to my TED Talks.
Well, I mean, I'm not even sure if I would qualify as a TED Talk. More as a bitch conversation, but... Tino, you're looking like you want to say something. So
I just, I'm curious on what you guys thought about the team and their big time players. And if they made big time plays this weekend, Joe thought so. So I'm just curious on your take on it.
That's the thing for me though, man. Like I'm not reading into what Joe was saying in pressers and everything else. Like everybody wants to hang on to every single word. I mean, we know this about Joe Judge. He said this from day one. He's not going to throw his players under a bus. So even if they played like shit, he's not going to rip them in front of the media. And, you know, fans are chomping at the bit because they want to pound the flesh because they're not happy with the way that the team's been playing. Sure, there's a lot of things out there that you can kind of blame Joe Judge for, whether it's the development of this team, the fact that they still only put up 9 points, even though we had fucking long neck Mike Glennon at quarterback, who I'm not even sure what he was seeing half the fucking time. By the way, I like the way that the offense looked, and I think that would have been a hell of a lot better with Danny in there. Mike Glennon missed a wide fucking open Evan Engram down the sideline. I don't think Danny misses that throw.
Joe Judge backed that comment up, Tino, that people didn't really want to put out there. But, I mean, he said, I approach my comments publicly very differently than I do with the team behind closed doors. So, like, there's no doubt that Joe does a lot of coach speak. I don't like that he said that, but, like, I'm not buying any of that shit.
Well, I'm obviously saying that super sarcastic. I told you guys last week, nothing of what happened. I mean, that's just New York media. I think all of it's ridiculous. I told you guys going into Sunday, nothing would really change for me. Nothing to the end of the season would change for me. It's a shit situation. I don't see it getting much better. Jake Fromm could go in there. Anyone who thinks it's going to get better is probably delusional. We could see the defense play better. We could see some progression for some young guys. But, dude, it's a shit sandwich. It's a fucking shit sandwich. And we shot ourselves in the foot. Deciding to make these moves at the time that we did. We were beating a dead horse here, but it's only making Judge look worse. And I'm not saying it's all on him. We never have. But at the same time, you know, we said it, winning cures all, and he hasn't won, right? So
Let's back that timeline up a little bit, though, guys.
Right.
Let's back this timeline up a little bit. So we had a great summer as fans, right? We had a lot of fun. Felt like everything was going to work out. Everything's good. But one thing that everybody, and for one thing, like our fan base is super divided, but one thing that everyone fucking agreed on was Joe's fingerprint blueprints were all over the map. We all agreed with it. There's no running from it. But at the same time, he didn't have all full control, and I still don't think he does. The Giants are a roundtable organization. But we can't forget that we gave credit to Joe a lot for building a lot of this current roster.
Did we, though?
We did, man.
So, all right.
The draft class.
The Giants went out and prioritized getting offensive playmakers. What part of what they did, and we argued this on the podcast, what part of what they did aligns with what you say is Joe Judge's philosophy of ground and pound?
None, for sure.
What type of blueprint did he have on the acquisitions?
As far as building the roster?
Yeah.
Well, he pitched Kenny Golladay. If anybody wants to sit here and think that Dave Gettleman and Kevin Abrams locked Kenny Golladay in Quest for 48 hours – You're joking. There's no way.
As a head coach of the New York Giants,
okay.
Anybody bringing in a free agent is going to meet with a head coach.
Okay, so recruiting, he was involved in.
Okay.
Okay, draft. We all gave him credit for Lemieux, for Parrott, for that entire linebacker draft, everything his first year, and Andrew Thomas, obviously DG too, but we gave Joe Judge a shit ton of credit for all that. There's nothing you can say that the current state that he came into of the roster, he didn't try to fill holes. Because he did. He's just failed so far in a lot of them. So Matt Peart is on Joe Judge's head just as much as he's on DG.
Where I will blame Joe Judge, and I'll give you credit for this, is the lack of development on their players. Right. Why did the O-line not improve? Why did Matt Peart not get in Sunday's game as a jumbo tight end?
Totally get it, man.
But let's back up
even further than that.
But then at the same time, though, Murph, let me ask you this question. I mean, why would Joe Judge throw himself under the bus? Obviously, he's going to be the one that's going to have to finger point it at him for a guy like Matt Peart not developing. So why would he not play him out of spite, right? I know that this guy's going to fall on me. I'm going to do everything I can to get him up to par. I'm going to play him in games. Why would he make it so obvious that this player is not developing if it is on Joe Judge?
I mean, I can't answer that. I have no idea. But, like, it's clear that pair hasn't developed.
Okay, fine. But, Frank, I'll let you go after this. But here's my other thing, though, too. And we saw this with the previous regimes, right? Pat Shurmur came in. What did we do on the defensive side of ball? James Betcher, we went and we got every fucking Arizona Cardinal that was a free agent that year, right? So I believe that Dave Gettleman builds his team for what fits the offensive and defensive schemes. And we said this on this podcast. You go out and you get a guy like John Ross. You go out and get a guy like Golladay. You draft Kadarius Toney. It was evident to me that they were building for an Air Coryell offense. So I don't see how, especially with your most recent enlightenment that Joe Judge wants to play field position, run the ball, then why do you go out and you build for an Air Coryell offense? Why are you not getting offensive linemen? Why are you not taking offensive linemen with your first pick if that is the actual philosophy? Because I think Joe Judge defers.
He took three offensive linemen the year before.
But still, I mean, you can't declare that it was fixed.
They went in knowing that Nick Gates, Lemieux, and AT were going to be their big three this year, and they lost two.
I disagree with you on that, especially if that's a philosophy there.
For the ground and pound and field position, sure, whatever. But I don't understand. We still need the wide receivers.
Here's my point, though, Murph, is that I think Joe Judge is a good CEO. I think he's a good CEO.
I agree with you.
What he envisions on this roster is that he's going to bring in people to do their job. He's not going to focus on coaching the offense. He's not going to focus on coaching the defense. We saw this last year. He didn't get involved with the offensive line until Colombo was fired. So how are you going to say that he's meddling in the offense coming up and telling Jason Garrett what to call on Sundays when that's not – he's proven to actually do the opposite.
There's a difference between telling Jason Garrett what play to call and what kind of approach you want to take.
All right, so then all the curls and stick routes were Jason Garrett then?
Yes and no.
Okay, but we built for an Air Coryell offense.
But we're not, like I told you this earlier, we've seen zero snaps of the Air Coryell offense.
All right.
Something's fishy here.
I want to give Frank the floor.
Yeah, y'all need to get them on. But like we talked about that, Mage.
Well, you guys hit on a ton of stuff there. So the first thing I'm going to take is the idea that the only thing that we agreed on the summer was that Joe had his blueprint on the team. I think another thing that we agreed on this summer was we have our coach, right? And now all of a sudden we don't have our coach. You know, I get it. This year's been miserable, just like the last freaking 6 years or whatever, other than 2016. However, it's been a miserable year, but and I don't like to blame everything on injuries. But you lose your quarterback of your defense, what, week two? Was it maybe week three? I don't remember. You lose a huge piece of the defense. Major run stopper, you know, plays 99% of the snaps. You lose your starting left guard, who, granted, wasn't great in pass pro last year, but was an excellent run blocker. What can't we do on offense this year? We can't run the ball. I mean, you lost two major cogs right off the bat, and then you lose Gates, your center, who is another big piece to the offense, who is a big piece to pulling, you know, gap scheme, run game. So they can't run the ball, period. They have, I mean, it's hard to say that the team didn't, you know, we didn't address the offensive line. They thought they had their starters in place. Granted, you know, backups, you can't plan for having four backups as starters for the year. So I know that's a huge problem. Pert is the one thing that I think you can slam on, you know, on Joe's head and say, why is this guy not developed? And why hasn't he been, you know, what everybody expected him to be? And I almost feel like Pert is more on Pert than it is on the, you know, the development of Pert. I mean, he's got to be the one that's got to take, you know, slap his dick on the table and say, I'm going to take this job from this 10-year starter, Nate Solder, who granted sucks, but he's obviously playing and being more aggressive. And it's more of what the line coach and the offensive coordinator wants. So, I mean, that's just a couple points that you guys hit on. Go ahead, Murph. I know you were going to say something.
I was going to touch on, you were saying, the 3-0 lineman. I mean, the only thing you can blame him really with the O-line, because I agree with you, we put our eggs in the basket with those three. Two of the three got hurt. But, you know, we didn't draft anyone, and we didn't bring in any depth. And it's fucking killing us right now.
But you just said that we went and drafted three linemen last year.
Right.
Okay.
So bad, you got to add to it all the time.
He went and got a previously, you know, a guard who was not a good starter, but was previously a starter. That guy quit for whatever reason. He quit this summer. Yep. Right. I can't remember his name now. The guy from Houston.
Zach Fulton.
Zach. Right. I mean, and then, you know, they went out and they tried to replace him with Joe Looney, and Joe Looney quit for some reason. I don't know why these guys quit. But
like, we're looking back on that shit. Is that shit – does that have anything to do with today now? These guys quitting?
No.
Like,
but to your point about adding depth, it's not like they ignored it. They tried to address it.
No, I know, but we, like, made fun of everybody at the time for, like, quitting on the Giants, right? And, like, here we are, man. We're 4-7. Like, what the fuck is going on?
All right, let me give Tino a second here.
Well, so there's a few things. I was just going to ask what exactly we're addressing here. Like, I mean, is it Judge's offense? Is it the mass mutiny against him right now? We're talking offseason.
The state
of
Joe Judge.
So, I mean, yeah. So it's a lot, though. It's a lot to unpack. And I think if you look at as a whole, the state of Joe Judge, again, I already touched on it. None of it's really Joe Judge's fault. From the offseason standpoint, yeah. I mean, you can say that the roster improved. They addressed the defense. We build on our defense. Could the biggest knock, and it was a glaring obvious knock, is that he didn't draft any more offensive linemen, which you guys already touched on, right? But he tried to supplement that with, you know, adding and dropping guys and whatever. It wasn't a good strategy, but it's what he tried to do. So it's not like they were oblivious to it. But, you know, at the same time, it's like, for me, none of you guys even touched on the stuff that drives me crazy, and it's that he coaches to, like, not lose. And that's the thing that bothers me the most. It's something that people were harping on a lot during this game. Like, you guys can look at it from an organizational standpoint and a roster building standpoint. That's fine. But the in-game decisions, that is directly on Joe Judge, and that's one of my biggest knocks on him. The times he wants to be aggressive, but it's like misconceived, and there's a miscommunication, and we fucking fumble the bag and fuck it up, or we just surrender at the 50 and punt in glaring situations when our offense finally catches momentum. And we have no momentum. We just decide to surrender the ball. Like, it's things like that that bother me more than anything. And he's had this for the last couple of years.
Let's say that, because I want to answer this question, right? So what you said is absolutely true about Joe Judge. Lack of aggressiveness, not going for it on fourth down in the opponent's territory and punting, and then kicking into the end zone, only having a net, 28-yard punt, whatever it was. So a lot of those things you can point to Joe Judge, because those are things that are obviously on him. Mm-hmm. Where I'm going to give Joe Judge a benefit of the doubt, those things aren't uncorrectable. Those are things that can easily be corrected. Those are decisions. So you as a coach, I want to present that back to you. I mean, how much is that? This is also still a first-time head coach now in his second season, but with COVID last year, didn't have to deal with fans in the stands and a lot of stuff. We're making excuses because there were other first-time head coaches last year that are doing well this year. So, I mean, but how much of that stuff is correctable, Tino?
Well, it depends, man, because all of that's, you know, decision-making, and some of it can be improved with experience, which obviously after a couple seasons, he's under hot fire for things like that. So his decision-making is obviously, you know, on the hot seat. So I don't know how much time he's going to have to do that. And you pulled up a graphic, right, about like a bunch of coaches that started out with losing records, right? Naturally, those
I was guys, hoping you didn't see that.
And you can still reference it, but that's just with anything, right? You hear it all the time. Coaches don't necessarily succeed in their first destinations. And that naturally happens. But the issue is, and that's what I'm saying, we fumble the bag because we don't give that coach the time he needs, because we made decisions midseason and we're not getting a whole look, and we're getting into scapegoat territory again. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. It's just what happens. And you could have seen this coming from a mile away. So that's the underwhelming part for me, that all this disaster is happening in front of us. Everyone's ripping Saquon. Oh my God, God forbid. Like, we had a fucking clinic on him last episode, but it's like, it's never going to end. Every week, everyone is going to be under a microscope with this team until we do something good. And it's our own fucking fault. It's our own fault. It's our own fault. It's the Giants' fault that all this has happened.
All right.
Hold on one second.
I don't want to move on. Okay. Write down your question, Murph.
Okay.
Because I wanted to do this earlier, so I want to play this little game with Tino. I know you saw the graphic. I don't know if you remember.
I did see the record.
There's so many questions about this graphic, too, by the way.
All right, so here you go. Just name a legendary NFL head coach. I will give you their record through the first two seasons. I went through and I did 14 of them, so.
Well, so tell me Billy B's. Tell me Belichick's, just because he put on a masterclass. Shout out to the Giants, great. Shout out to the Giants, great fucking owning the Bills last night. God. Bill Belichick, what was his record?
Bill Belichick through the first two seasons was 13-19.
Mm-hmm. In Cleveland, too. Managed to get 13 wins in Cleveland. Yeah.
Give me another one. Let's go. Somebody throw somebody else out there. $200 million.
Who had the most wins on that list? How about that?
All right, so the most wins, let's see, looking at
wait, win I know who it was. It was freaking John. It was Harbaugh, wasn't it?
Actually, it was Bruce Arians, 21-11 through his first two seasons. John Harbaugh and Bill Cowell were tied for second.
Does Arians, at 20-12. Was Arians, I know he was assistant forever. Is that the Colts? or no?
So
he took over.
So he was with the Colts and then he went to the Cardinals.
Well, it's just like, because like in my head, I count that differently then, because I know he inherited those because Pagano got cancer, if I'm not mistaken.
That's yeah, but I tried to, I tried for the most part, a lot of these guys. So still Bruce Arians, so his first 2 years was 21-11. Mm-hmm. So it was only two games less than John Harbaugh and Bill Cowher, who had, you know.
It's just, I remember because a lot of those wins is literally just.
Actually, no, I'm sorry. It's the same. 32 games. No, 32 games.
It'd be interesting to know what the records were for those teams before those coaches took over too. You know, where they drafted the previous year. You know, look, I'm just saying.
There's a lot about the graphic. There's so much context.
Yeah, of course.
Dan Schneier brought up a point about, you know, matching it against other coaches who only coached for 2 years before they got canned or whatever. But still, I think the whole point here and the reason why I wanted to bring this up on the point that you made, Tino, is these were coaches that end up making it past 2 years. Now, some of them didn't do it with the same team. Bill Belichick, Mike Shanahan was fired before the end of his second season. So, but they end up going on to have really good careers. I think it's important here. I get the knock on Joe Judge, but I think it's important to at least see what you get out of him in a third year before you decide to move on.
Okay, and that's fair, right? People, like, again, you see this plenty of times.
Bill Walsh was 8-24.
I'm not saying Joe Judge can't be successful, but another glaring thing that irks me, and we talked about it, one of the offseason signings that we didn't like or the moves that we didn't like is losing Colt. You saw what Colt was able to do for us last year. You saw what he did in Arizona. Obviously, adding Mike Glennon was a waste. I mean, what the fuck? Right? I mean, seriously, talk about, like, managing your roster. You know Danny hasn't gone 16 yet. I
think the Eric Ariel.
Yeah, but it's
Colt
such
McCoy a McCoy didn't. Colt McCoy didn't have a strong
roster management, dude. If you got a quarterback with in Danny that you know has injury concerns, right? Whether you want to call him injury prone or not, it's not stupid to just plan ahead, right? You have to have a guy who at least knows the system. Or why would you lose a guy in Colt and bring in a new guy in the offseason that we had? I don't know. It's just like it sucks. It sucks. And now we're on to Jake Fromm this week. And it's like, I just saw Colt McCoy keep the fucking Arizona Cardinals afloat. And they're a one seed. They're a fucking one seed. You know, and we had him last year. So it's one of those things, like we talked about it. Okay, whether it's Judge's roster or not, that's what he's supposed to be. And like, as much as like there are signs of life, there are also some, you know, blunders. I feel like some obvious blunders that we kind of humbled.
Yeah, but Colt McCoy, I mean, yes, they won the Seattle game, right? But it was like, what, 17-13 or 17-12. Colt McCoy didn't win the game. They got blown out in Cleveland, right? I mean, he didn't do anything in that game.
That's fair. But Frank, I mean, you guys said it yourself off the top. How bad was Mike Glennon this weekend? I mean, dude wasn't hitting guys. He wasn't within 10 feet.
No.
What was the difference between the Colt McCoy game versus Seattle and this game with Mike Glennon versus Miami? What was the difference in rushing yards in the two games?
I mean, if you're going to box score check, for me, it's just like, I mean, even just as a fan, I just have no belief in Mike Glennon. Zero belief in
somebody else started the game.
Yeah, he started the game off like 8-for-8 or something. We don't know when he got the concussion. I don't know if that came into play at all. Maybe it did. Maybe it didn't. But he started off like he was dealing, and then shit fell apart after that.
That could be more nitpicking. It's 100% like just more of a personal thing that irks me. But it's just like, it's little things like that I think about. I see everyone panic over the same thing, and it's like, I just look at some other things and it's like, those are my knocks. It's like shit. Like,
yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, I do. You know. I think it kind of goes back to what Mage was saying. I think they wanted a quarterback who could go downfield, and obviously they had more trust in their O-line than they have, you know, today. I don't think Joe trusts the O-line at all, which is why, you know, they play the way they do right now. I just don't think he has a lot of trust in anything right now. And he's got them playing, you know, extremely conservative. But I think they went out and got Glennon because they wanted to be able to go downfield.
But then, you know, another fault, and you mentioned it, and we talked about this on why they didn't draft an offensive lineman, had to have been that he just trusted this O-line a lot, right? And I mean, okay, disregard some of the glaring holes. Solder is Solder, but Will has underperformed. Like, there are certain things that I'm trying to – I want to see what they saw, and I'm trying to go back and make it make sense. And, like, the O-line is the one thing that you guys touched on. I don't want to harp on it forever, but it's like – yeah, it won't really make sense to me, the strategy behind it. You know, it's – I don't know.
Do you guys honestly think that we have a top 20 O-line with Shane and Nick in there? Sorry. It's hard for me to be honest.
Because
the right tackle position would be still shredded.
All right, so if you're going to ask a question, let me answer it. By the way, was this the question you were going to ask?
No.
Okay, I'm going to make my point, and then I'll let you ask that question too. By the way, that the offensive line started off, I'm going to say yes. I think that we would have been at
off
least
– week one.
Still, the first 4 weeks, this offensive line played really well before Andrew Thomas went.
Wasn't down. Together for 4 weeks. They were done after 2 weeks.
But still, the offensive line – look at the pockets that Danny had, especially during the Saints game.
I'll give them that.
They were playing well, but now – you got a new left guard. You got a new center. You still got Nate Solder at right tackle, so you might as well have three open positions.
But that same unit was playing in the Saints game, bro.
What, Billy Price?
Yeah.
When did Gates got hurt week two.
First fucking quarter.
Also, I know people shit on Solder. Billy Price is still the worst lineman on this team.
Yeah, he's pretty bad.
That's what I'm saying, guys. Well, I get it.
We were using Bredesen more that game, weren't we?
Yeah, we were.
Left guard, probably, yeah. Yeah. The Price is playing center.
Which is another thing. It's weird. I'm surprised it went away from Bredesen. Bredesen was so good.
His ratings were always bad. But, guys, like,
he got a little bit of playing time this week.
Are Nick Gates and Shane Lemieux really bouncing this team from 32 to 18? Come on.
Again, I'm not sure. This comes down to development. So having these guys in the same system a second year, but now you're bringing in guys that were literally on other people's squads. We traded for Billy Price. We signed Skiro off our practice squad. I mean, I don't know. These are guys are now learning a brand new blocking scheme mid-year and then being forced to start. So there's a reason why they look so bad picking up stunts. They never played together. They don't know what each other's abilities are. I mean, they don't know the assignments.
But then
there's a reason the offensive line looks awful.
Who's better at to lay in then? You know, because I see Rob Sale getting a little trash out there. And it's like, again, is that fair to the offensive line coach that he's got to coach a new unit?
That comes back to Murph's point about depth. But I don't think it wasn't for lack of effort. They tried to address the depth. I mean, but fuck, man, they lost two starters very quickly right off the bat. And then they also lost Andrew Thomas for a few weeks.
Look, I'm
very
not saying,
hard. Very
I,
hard.
I get it. And you saw it happen to the Eagles and the Cowboys last year. And it's a big part of why they struggled, right? I mean, direct correlation to how much better they're doing this year. And that I'm saying that loosely with the Eagles. But obviously, their offensive line has been a key focal point on why they've played better lately. Either way, like, I get that excuse totally, which is why I'm just trying to look outside the offensive line, because for sure, it's been the most snake-bitten position we had. But we knew this. We said it all last year. How many games did we have the same offensive line unit out there? That's not how the NFL works. It's how the world works. Like, we were blessed with that. It's what kept us in the season as long as it did, our health and having that camaraderie on the offensive line. But we knew that coming in. It's why them passing up on depth was a glaring issue. It was a glaring question mark. So I don't know. Like, I get it. Like, I get the excuse. It's just also like, it's something we kind of foresaw.
It's an excuse.
When we talk about passing up on depth.
All right. Well,
I was just going to make one quick point. You know, passing up on depth, we didn't go get a starter. We took Tony. We made the trade. We took Tony over Slater. The only place where we really passed up on depth in the draft, I wouldn't really trade anybody that we drafted other than Gary Brightwell, right? And then the question was, you know, in the sixth round, are you taking Trey Smith or whatever? I mean, there was obvious concerns with him. Everybody wants to kill the Giants for that. but 31 other teams passed on him for six rounds. So, I mean, there was obvious concerns with the guy. And, you know, you can kill him all you want, but that's really the only place we pass up on depth. It would have been nice to have that piece there, right?
And you also had his head coach on the Giants coaching staff as well. Pruitt.
Yep, Jeremy Pruitt.
Oh, oh right. Gotcha.
So,
yeah, so I mean,
nobody knew more about him than his head coach. But, Murph, what was your question from before? I want to circle back.
It was more like a talking point, to be honest with you, but like I can ask it in a form of a question. What's the common theme between now and when we hired DG? Or, I mean, drafted Saquon?
The offensive line is the problem.
I mean, that's part of it, but yeah.
I mean, they drafted Saquon because they wanted to give Eli a running game to help him, you know, to take the pressure off of him at the end of his career.
Don't think like John Mara. Think like a general manager yourself. You guys got anything? What's the common theme with the franchise then and now? Look at the roster. Look at the dead cap.
Still has the same share ownership.
Well, I'm not going to keep asking, but this is probably the perfect time to start it from scratch.
I disagree. But if there's a better time to start it from scratch, it's next year.
Because we'll get ahead of the curve, because you're probably not going to be good next year.
Yeah, but
I kind of
get what you're saying, but at the same time, you still got high profile players that are still on the books. You still got Danny, who's here for a fourth year. If anything, you're pushing the reset button next year, which is another reason why you keep Joe Judge through the third year. Fine. If you want to get rid of Gettleman, get rid of Gettleman. Personally, I'd probably keep him and then get rid of them both next year. Why bring in another general manager?
That's the difference, is we need a GM, and you know damn well the Giants are not waiting a fucking year to get a GM. And I just don't think the thought of Joe Judge being involved in the GM search is the right decision on the large scale for this franchise. Do I think that he's the right guy to do that? Sure. But it's another decision that could fucking really haunt us even longer.
So, all right. I want to stay there with your point, though, Murph, because I'm going to bring up a lot of stuff that I brought up previously. So you already know where I'm probably going to go with this. But Joe Judge, let's talk about the firing of Jason Garrett real quick. Why did it take so long for Joe Judge to fire Jason Garrett? Anybody that wants to,
I mean, I know what you're gonna say, but for me, Mara, that was all Mara. So,
all right. So John Mara finally allows Joe Judge to make the decision to fire Jason Garrett. Yes,
because that's what John Mara historically does. Waits too long to cut fat.
All right. So then, do you think? I mean, based on conversations that we had, do you think Joe said, "Hey, look, John, it's time for you to sit the fuck down. Let me manage the team the way that I see fit. Let me get my coordinators in here. Let me run the team the way I want to run the team."
I do not think that Joe Judge said that to John Mara, no.
So then what's the power dynamic here? It's still John Mara pulling the
strings. Roundtable organization like it's always been. Why should I have any reason that it's changed? We gave Joe Judge and his staff credit all summer long, and we just talked about that.
So if we're going to say that John Mara forced Jason Garrett on Joe Judge, but then we're going to say that Joe Judge didn't have the power to fire Jason Garrett?
I told you. Maybe we were wrong. Like, none of that's ever been really confirmed. It's never ever been confirmed. So
there's been a lot of stuff that came out.
Good point. You made a good point.
Mr. Chris has a lot of things, and then he hopes
something sticks. He has a lot of good points, though. He could have been his veteran presence, man. Who fucking knows? Mark could have pitched that on Joe. How do we know these things?
Because there were a lot of reports that came out that Joe Judge wanted Jason Garrett fired last year.
why did that take Jason Garrett getting fired at the end or three quarters through this year for that report to come out from Jason Lockenforney?
Okay, so hold on.
Buying bullshit because that's the same guy
Steinberg. Tell me this then, Murph. So he wasn't allowed to fire Jason Garrett last year, or he was allowed to let Mark Colombo go?
Did he let Mark Colombo go? Or was that a roundtable decision? Look, I'm just a fucking fan, so like I could have easily been wrong the entire time because this franchise never ceases to amaze.
Here's my point. If Mara is finally relinquishing some control to someone with a football pedigree, ties to Nick Saban in Alabama, Bill Belichick in the New England Patriots, guess what? That's good in my book, and that's better than anything that fucking John Mara will do by himself. Let Joe Judge make the decisions.
I think that's a fair statement.
But, and if Joe Judge is going to bring in a GM, a GM that he wants to work with, I believe that's going to be the best decision for his organization. Let Joe build the front office. At Murph, you said this. There were no scouts that were fired from the Giants until Joe Judge arrived.
Two. Out of way too many.
Still two more than there's been in the last fucking 75 years.
So now you're saying Joe runs the scouting?
I'm saying that changes are being made under Joe Judge's tenure.
Fair. But again,
might not be enough, but they're being made. And okay, that's the problem. That. Everybody wants a bitch that, oh my God, all we do is hire from within. All John Mara does is go with familiarity. But then Joe Judge is somebody that came from an outside organization who's now inside. Let him shake shit up if that's what it's going to take. If not, my question to everybody out there is, what is the fucking alternative? What do you want? You want Brian Daboll? What if you miss on him? Who are you getting? Lewis Riddick and Eric Bieniemy? Good luck, Murph, with that. Good luck with that.
You know how I feel about all that.
What's the alternative? Here. Everybody wants Joe Judge's fucking head on a stake, but what's the alternative?
I already told you, it's not necessarily about Joe.
So fire Joe, because it's not necessarily about Joe.
Yeah, because...
How does that make any fucking sense?
Because we need a fucking GM, and I'm not doing this whole arranged marriage
bullshit. Bring the GM in, then! Who cares? They only do one aspect. We know Kevin Abrams does the contracts.
Hope it works.
Kevin Abrams does the contracts, right? You got Kyle O'Brien in here. They created a position for Kyle O'Brien, who, guess what, has New England ties, who's now in fucking, what is he, senior scouting or whatever it is that he's doing? I'll be your next GM.
I'm pretty sure I opened the episode saying that exact thing. You don't hire a GM if Joe sits.
But we are talking about promoting Kyle O'Brien.
Promote within.
Dave Gettleman is going to be the pound of flesh that fans get. Dave Gettleman's gone. He's gone.
Yeah, we know all this. Nothing's going to happen. We're talking about opinions here, Mish.
I get it. But I just don't get where everybody's coming from with this.
I understand. But like, what happens when teams are bad for that long.
Cool. So we could bring in another guy like Ben McAdoo to talk about the sex-crazed lion, Frazier, and then start this way he could lose a team. Guess what? That's another credit to Joe Judge. Through two losing seasons, he hasn't lost a single person in that fucking locker room. Coach that does that.
Cool.
Pat Shurmur offensive guru, whatever he was, got this team churning. Couldn't keep the fucking locker room.
You're not selling me on anything, Mage. I want Joe Judge to work more than anyone else. Love the man when we hired him. Haven't been so wrong about something in my life. But, like, again, it's just kind of the state of the franchise. And I don't think it's the right decision.
But you're so sick of everything that's been happening, Merv. All you do is bitch every fucking day.
So what are you saying?
Is how the Giants have been for the last 10 years. And you're saying, oh, well, this is the state of the franchise. Giants are going to do what Giants are going to do. So then what's the alternative? I'd rather
John Mara give full control.
You just want more shit you want.
No, dude. I want the fucking scouting department gone. I want the GM gone. I want the head coach gone. They already ruined the fucking quarterback. They already ruined the fucking running back. They have no O-linemen. I want it fucking burned to the ground. Every single vet that we have on the fucking team will be completely washed by the entire
Burn it to the ground, and who's hiring the next staff? I don't
give a fuck who hires.
What do you mean? You don't give a fuck who hires it. It's going to be John Mara, the guy that we've been bitching about for the last 10 years about making these decisions.
The Giants will not be good for a long time.
Cool. So burn it down to the ground so we could be miserable for the next 10 fucking
years.
Correct,
because their roster needs to be turned over because all the
everybody wants everybody gone. Burn it all down.
Correct.
But yet when we ask who's the next fucking messiah that's going to bring the Giants out of promised land, no one has any answers. Nor don't should they care. Because John Mara and Steve Tisch are still making the fucking decisions.
Don't care who the next coach is. They just better fucking win games. I don't care who the next quarterback is.
So really what you're hoping for is the next Powerball lotto ticket.
Yeah,
remember we bring in. And not only that, you fired Shermer. You fired Joe Judge. The next coach better do it in 2 fucking years because he's gone.
Well, you know.
So 2 years is all you get now, guys. Two years is all you get. That's it. You better be a winner in year one like Ben McAdoo was. Oh, wait. That's right. Ben McAdoo was fired too. Fuck out of here.
Yeah, now I really want him fired.
Hey, Tino, how you doing, man?
It's just funny because, like, this is what dysfunction leads to, you know?
This is the Giants fan base.
It's just sad. Like, it's almost just funnier because, like, because I know them and a lot of this is just the nonsense that goes on in the Twitter sphere, just bubbling up under Major's skin and, like, the overreactions. You're never going to make sense of it. That's what I'm saying. It's so stupid. The overreactions are stupid. That's why I'm saying it's one of those things that I'm just looking in the mirror. I'm just looking in the mirror and reflecting. But yeah, we've said this. It's not Judge's fault. It's not. Like, we can be up here and be critical on Judge. It's just like, it's fucked. We've said this before this season. What's worst case scenario? We put ourselves in a situation where guys are just going to get outed, even though they shouldn't. And it happened. It unfolded exactly how we saw because it's happened so many times. But it's like, we're going to be in a situation, Mage, what you're defending, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just, it's something we kind of worry about because we knew Gettleman would eventually be gone. And we've said it's just the right thing to do if we're going to do that again. Like, if it's not Judge promoting or we don't promote within, then you got to clean it up. And, dude, I don't know, man. I'm not going to act like – I'm going to take the Murph route here. I'm a fan. I just want to see the Giants win. I don't know what's good. I don't know what's right and wrong. Because, honestly, what's crazy is in the amount of games we've been in this year, like, legit, I feel like this year proved in the NFL, all you got to do is be competitive and you can fucking make the playoffs. And, honestly, the Giants are just not competitive. And I'm back to where we were 2 years ago. I just want to see competitive football again. That's it. That's all. That's where I'm at. The dysfunction is going to be what it is with the Giants. I just want to see him.
Cop out. I'm just a fan. You know what? I hope Philip Rich, you were a new one this week.
Philip loves me. All right. More than you. More than
you. Definitely going to agree with me.
Yeah.
Dude, I feel like this podcast is like one of those El Jefe skets.
You're the fucking ass hat that wanted the WWE SmackDown this morning. So this is your fault, Frank.
What?
Yeah.
I said we should have a battle royale.
Yeah, SmackDown.
I like that. Stone Circle Death Match.
Basically what me and Mace just did.
Yeah, but that was just the two of you. A battle royale is where, like, everybody comes out of everywhere. You got, like, 20 people in there. A
little Royal Rumble
action. Tino and I have still yet to hit each other. I'm still waiting for him to set it up.
I told you, meet me in the MetLife parking lot and we'll do it. I already stated where I want this to get done and we'll get it done.
It costs $35 to get into a MetLife parking lot. We can do it in Weehawken for free.
Well worth the price of admission, in my opinion. I want to get some viewership. We'll work out a deal and get some money off the top.
That's right. You did say right at the turf that they have outside the stadium, right? Where is that, the Pepsi Zone?
Yeah, we said we were going to do nutcrackers in front of the little kids kicking field goals on the little MetLife field.
Go ahead, Frank.
I don't even know where to go from here, honestly. I'm with you, Mage, in that, you know, and Murph too. I mean, I still love the guy. I still love Joe. I still think he's the coach that we want. The question is, how do you make it work now with changing out a GM, you know, trying to match a coach to a GM, You've got a quarterback who is shell-shocked. Can you fix him? You've got a running back who looks like he's shell-shocked. Can you fix him? And can you get the O-line fixed? I mean, I don't think it makes any sense to fire Joe this year. And it's funny because, like, all of a sudden this week, everybody's in Murph. I know it's not you. You said this like 2-3 weeks ago, but a lot of people are coming out of the woodwork this week saying fire Joe. Like, what this week makes you want to fire Joe? He just played a game with a backup quarterback with a concussion and no O-line. Your starting wide receiver goes out with busted ribs halfway through the game. You don't have your first round draft pick. What this week makes you say fire Joe? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Very good point.
But
Frank, what you're saying is like, that's why I don't understand. Like, nothing has changed. That's my point. Everyone overreacting this week. What are you overreacting on? Yeah, that's my point. Exactly. Moving forward without the starting quarterback and after an offensive coordinator change 12 weeks into the season, what exactly are you evaluating? Please tell me. And what are you overreacting on? Like, it's a shit sandwich.
This week didn't sell me on Joe. I just was giving Joe every week to earn it back to me.
Oh, for sure.
We beat Philly. Great. But, like, I can't lie. Like, we didn't have, like, some great episode last week on here, like, all happy and shit. Like, it didn't feel – the Philly game didn't feel like a, like, good win. You know?
The fact that
I felt like that against Oakland. I did feel like that was a good win, but, like, Philly was an ugly win. And it really didn't change much for me because we were trying to evaluate – Kitchens and Danny, and we got nothing again. And now Danny's hurt, and we're like, it's spiraling out of control. So the fan base is spiraling. But like, a lot of my beliefs with this have been, I've been losing faith in Joe by the week. I will say that. But
I don't think Joe's going anywhere.
The Tampa Bay game was a turning point for me. I knew we were going to lose, but I didn't expect it to go like it did. And that's when I started being like, I don't know that we can move on with this guy. But you guys know me. I know he's staying. So I'm going to have to buy myself back into him. But Joe Judge is not going anywhere. Like, I would bet my bank account that he's not going anywhere.
I don't think he's allowed to fire Garrett if he's done at the end of the season.
If
you were going to clean house at the end of the season, I think Mara tells Joe, you got to keep him on and we're going to get rid of everybody. You're not going to embarrass my guy, Jason, right? So I think Joe's staying. And for better or for worse, they got to make it work. And, you know, I know that's going to be an uphill battle. But I think, you know, granted, everybody, what I've been hearing a lot today is Joe has given me no reason to believe that he can make it work. And he really hasn't, other than what we saw last year, you know, and just the general overall feel that, you know, he gives you of being a football guy and understanding the game and having connections and, you know, and you just hope that he's got something in his back pocket that that he's going to, you know, pull that rabbit out of the hat and have, you know, somebody who's going to be a GM for him. I don't know. I mean, I think we're going to find out a lot in 5 weeks. We're not going to find out a lot about the team, but we're going to find out in 5 weeks from now, we're going to find out a lot about what the direction of the organization is going to be. We're going to know if Joe is going to be the guy who's calling the shots, or if they go out and they find some GM that Joe has no connection with, you know, then you're going to know that Mara's still pulling all the strings. Right. But if they say, hey, Joe, you got your opportunity right now to either promote Kyle O'Brien or, you know, they bring in, I know you hate Scott Pioli, But if you bring in a guy like Pioli, who's got a connection to New England and who, you know, who Joe knows, I think you'll know that Joe has a little bit more say in what's going on in the building.
Let me just agree with you real quick, Frank, and make this point. When John Mara looks at Joe Judge, he sees Bill Belichick. I'm telling you guys that right now. So there's a love affair there with Joe Judge.
If they go and, you know, my concern is that they handcuff Joe with Kevin Abrams. And if that happens, then I'm all out.
I disagree.
Yeah, I want that.
I don't think Kevin Abrams wants the GM position. One, he's not a good speaker. He's one of those guys that's so freaking smart with numbers, but like you just don't put in front of a crowd. And for that reason, I think he will forever be the Giants capologist. I don't think he's ever going to move into a GM role that involves scouting this and the other thing.
I kind of agree.
So it's the one thing that concerns me about Abrams and the connection to the Giants and everything is, I don't remember. It was a couple years ago. He was supposed to go interview, or he did interview with Detroit for their GM position. And he ended up staying in New York. And you just have to wonder why he stayed in New York, what kind of deal they made with him to keep him in New York.
So why'd they give Gettleman the job then?
Was it after Gettleman was already hired? I don't remember.
I think it was before Gettleman.
I could thing with Abrams, though, is like for all the hell we've been through, the man's gotten us out of cap situations. So I do believe he is, as much as people shit on him because they think he's the GM in waiting, I think he's actually an asset to us. But I don't want him to be the GM.
He worked for the NFL.
Yeah, like I think that Kevin Abrams is actually an asset for you, but I'm with both of you. No GM. But I will say if they did make O'Brien the GM, it's probably going to be a collaborative effort. But I want to go back to your point, Frank, on Pioli. Pioli and Joe didn't work together. So that's also another reason why I'm kind of out on that piece. I know the New England connection's there, and I know that that's been brought up that the Giants want to bring a guy that's from New England. But, like, again, I want a guy that's actually worked with Joe. I know Pioli and him were both there, but they weren't clever.
I don't know that, too. Can we just stop making it seem like everything from New England is made of gold, too?
Well, I'm totally with you, dude.
Casario went to Houston, and they still have it. They've been paying Deshaun Watson all season to sit on their bench. So.
And that's why I'm worried, man, and that's why I rather, like, as much as I hate it, because it's all we do, stay in-house for one more year. And if you're really serious about this Joe Judge guy, let him pick his GM next year when he turns his franchise around.
That's why I'm being honest with you. December 7th, 2021, I think it's Kyle O'Brien. Kyle O'Brien fits what the Giants front office already kind of does. He leads scouting, Kyle O'Brien. That's what the GM for the New York Giants typically has done, been basically a master scout or a head scout for the team, evaluating, bringing in talent. That's it. I mean, Dave Gettleman doesn't even handle the books. And we know that, right? Even the trade, Kevin Abrams was working out during the draft. Gettleman wasn't involved.
And that's why I bring up Abrams. It'll be collaborative again. That's the way it should be if they're going to keep Joe.
I agree with you. I think Kevin Abrams is an asset to the Giants for what he does cap-wise.
But let me ask you guys this. That's not enough for me. If that's the direction they decide to take, and I know we're going pretty long here, but that's not enough change for me. I need more.
I disagree. If Kyle O'Brien comes out and Kyle O'Brien hits on 10 picks in the draft, okay, just like the Giants did in 2007, I think that's going to change.
What he does. I'm talking about currently broken on this staff. What else can we upgrade besides the OC? Do we need to overturn the scouting department?
Yeah, well, I think that goes hand in hand with what we just said about the draft.
Position coaches. It's all valid questioning, man.
What we need to do is get rid of our athletic trainers, because our guys can't stay healthy for fuck.
So, like, as dramatic as I was being, and as much as I want to burn it down, some heads should definitely roll here, man. Some heads should roll. Honestly, dude, people might not like this, but, like, depending on how Freddie Kitchens finishes the season out, the tight end group was shit. So why does he get to come back?
Yeah, well, he lost Toyolo. He lost Caden Smith.
Brian Burton.
I mean,
that's
Saquon. Burton Burns.
Saquon's different. You know what? And Tyke Tolbert, he's been here for two staffs. Might be time for a change. I don't know what he's doing to those boys.
I'm fine with the position coaches, because I don't think we should necessarily see one way or the other much of a difference anyhow. So I think it comes down to scheme mostly. Position coaches teach technique, you know, stuff like that. Most of these guys have already.
I just believe some heads need to roll. There's some people that probably.
By the way, Murph, real quick, before we do wrap this up, though, a lot of fans were saying that Mike Glenn's going to put up 30 points.
And Jake Fromm's going to put up 40.
He did not. So, but just to remind everybody, Daniel Jones is still the issue, though, not the offense.
Like I said earlier, Jake Fromm has zero excuses this week. Ample O-line, great wide receivers, tremendous running back, tight end with Pro Bowl hands, and coaching doesn't matter. So Jake Fromm should beat the shit out of the Chargers on the road, probably win by 20, or I don't even know, man. I don't even know what the or is.
Well, the sad part no is excuses. If Jake Fromm does end up putting up 300 yards, three touchdowns, and his team scores like 30-something points, there's going to be a quarterback controversy in New York on Monday.
Sure.
Yo, can you imagine? Santa Claus,
but Jake Fromm sucks. I will eat crow on that if he crushes it, but Jake Fromm is so limited. I would actually say Jake Fromm might be worse than Glennon.
Can you imagine being an NFL quarterback and being brought in by a team and having to start a game 10 days later? I mean, knowing nothing about the offense.
I think that's why
the coaching staff putting their players in positions to succeed.
Well, I think that's why they brought him in, though, Frank. I was having this conversation with Mr. Chris, right? If you're in a position where you think Danny's going to miss multiple games, you have to trade for a quarterback. You don't want to give up assets. So you go looking at the practice squad. Jake Fromm was probably the best player with the best pedigree available that you could get for next to nothing.
What about Josh Rosen?
He signed, but you would have to trade for him, though. But I did bring that up, though, right? If Josh Rosen was available on the practice squad, he was a first-round pick. I mean, talent doesn't just go away. So I would have probably signed a guy like Josh Rosen as well. But you bring in Jake Fromm, who did play at Georgia in the SEC. We have a lot of people from Georgia on the staff. Breeds familiarity for him. I'm just saying, I think that's why the Giants targeted Jake Fromm, not because they see the next franchise quarterback there, Mr. Chris. Once
Jake two tackles around also, the team.
Jake Fromm is better than Justin Fields, just so we know. He beat him out. Beat him out in college. Don't forget. People don't forget. No,
he did.
Yeah. So, you know what? Mr. Chris also brought that up. Guess what? Dwayne Haskins also beat out Joe Burrow. So how's that going?
Great, right?
Hey, Jake Fromm will know his left tackle and possibly his right tackle if Isaiah Wilson gets to play.
Yeah, and Zoe Carter and Ojulari and Kevin Chair.
And DeAndre and Baker.
Tay Crowder.
DeAndre Baker, yeah. DeAndre Baker. All right, man. I think we've gone long enough. Closing remarks, guys.
I knew Jake Fromm was QB1 last week. I picked him up in our fantasy league, and I wrote QB1 in the group chat.
Yeah, fuck you, because I have Danny. I need
it. I foresaw that. Someone picked up Minshew over Hurts, like I have Hurts, and Mage took him. So as a rebuttal, I took the true QB1. That's what I had to do. So
yeah, Mage picking up Minshew and you picking up Fromm basically. Well, I lost this week, so even if I had Minshew, would I have beat you, Frank?
No, it wasn't close.
So it wouldn't have mattered.
Could have traded me a quarterback earlier like I did you, Murph. Thanks for being.
Well, it sounds like it wouldn't have mattered. So
I also legendary. I traded Mage a quarterback in this one league, and I honestly forgot to set my lineup, and Mage still lost to me. I just wanted to bring that up. I just needed to be said while we're on the topic.
Fuck, I'm the high scoring team in the league, and I'm in seventh place right now. I'm not even in the playoffs, and I'm the highest scoring team in the league.
Yeah, so Tino,
that's how my season's going.
Tino, that is the league that you sent me. Both Tino and I'm in first place. Tino's in second place. We both have first round buys as of right now. But there is one more week with two teams that have the same record as us. So Tino and I have to win to keep our
anything
spots.
Happen. But for the record, we do have more points than them. So we just, you know, keep the process and we'll be all right. The buy
helps. Trust the process.
For me
trust
in that league, I got Jalen Hurts. He's got a buy this week. So, you know, it's not going to be easy to get through. But if I can, it'll help. But, you know,
good hey, luck. Tino, I don't think I've talked to you since then, but the Bulls beat the Nets. So
they did. I was courtside for that. I'm sorry I didn't tell you about that.
Lonzo.
Yeah, I was actually on the Bulls side of the bench, too. I could have grabbed Caruso's ball sack if I wanted to, but I didn't. And by ball sack, I mean
it looks like his head. So
yeah, that's exactly what we want to think. There you go.
All right, that's gonna wrap up this episode of Clapback Sports. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Peace and love. Everybody.